Okay. Uh-oh. Because of Independence Day, I happened to find this list of 8 freedoms to thank God for this Independence Day. Freedom to believe, the freedom to live out our faith, freedom to worship, the freedom of prayer, freedom to have a say in government, the freedom of speech, the freedom to petition the government, and finally, the freedom to pursue happiness. So I got to thinking, worst case scenario, which one of these could we lose at some point? Can y'all see that okay? Which one of these could we lose at some point? Somebody said all of them. Most of them. Which ones? Okay. 5 through 7. 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7 are definites. We definitely could lose those. Be some question where we could lose our belief. In a way, we could not lose that, I don't believe. We could lose how we live out our faith. There could be some problems with that. We could lose our freedom to worship. We may have to go underground, so to speak, as they do in China. And then we could lose our freedom to pursue happiness. That's a matter of opinion. But the one thing we cannot lose, in my opinion, is prayer. And that goes back to what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Even if we say a silent prayer, it is a prayer. So that is one freedom, in my opinion, we will never lose. Yes, sir?
I'd have to say worship, too, because we can worship God anytime, anywhere.
We can, yeah. And that's why I said that could be questionable, yeah. But
if you said family group worship, that might be different.
Yeah, that's where the church may have to go underground, as they say. So why do we pray? Or why should we pray? Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it this way: man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Some translations say, and not lose heart. And here are some questions that we have probably asked at some point, and some of them we've talked about in previous weeks. If God knows our needs, why send him our petitions? If God loves us, why ask him to bless us? Won't he do it anyway? If God is good, then why urge him to work good in the world? And why pray at all? Just let Jesus do what seems good to him. Some people feel that the only value of prayer is the person praying. Prayer is often looked upon as the glorified pep talk to spur us on to the greater accomplishments. But in the face of all of this, Jesus teaches us to always pray and not to faint or lose heart. God not only insists that we pray, but he has also promised to answer our prayers. God made us in such a way that we desire to pray. Our religions have some form of praying involved. It is not only a duty, but it is a natural inclination of the human heart. Any questions? Here are some reasons why we pray. If men do things for motivation, what motivates us to pray to God? Prayer, and there's 5 reasons here. Prayer is our only means of talking to God. It is our way of drawing near to him, and he has promised to draw us near to us. That's in James 4. All these scriptures, by the way, will be in your handout. God speaks to us through his words, Hebrews 1 and 2. And as we read, listen, or hear the word of God, he is speaking to us. Prayer is our way to speak back to God. Second motivation, prayer helps us to keep a close relationship with God. It is generally understood that we not only are better people when we sincerely pray often, but our minds and ears are centered more upon spiritual things. Prayer is definitely a way of keeping us close to God. That's in Psalms 55. Third motivation, prayer is God's means of conferring benefits and blessings that we need. Some look upon prayer as something that is burdensome, dull, and difficult, and in reality benefits God more than men. To them, prayer is a kind of favor we can confer upon God, but contrarywise, man is the one who needs prayer, not God. We are benefited, not God. Prayer is a great privilege, a blessing, and an opportunity for the Christian. Prayer should not be looked upon as begging God for something in order to get our way. God will not become our slave. Someone has expressed the thought in this way. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his highest willingness. He wants to bless us, but he also wants us to come near to him. God is definitely interested in his children's welfare and desires our good. He has the power and willingness to help. He is a wise, loving, and beneficent God, but he also challenges his people to draw near to him in prayer. The fourth motivation, our forgiveness is dependent upon our praying to God and his answering our prayer. 1 John 1:9 and also Acts 8:22. Under the Old Testament, daily sacrifices were offered for the sins of the people, indicating continual cleansing. Under the New Testament, it is by continual confessing and penitent prayer that we can have continual forgiveness and cleansing. That's in 1 John. And the final motivation, to express our respect and thankfulness to God. All men have much to be thankful for, but the Christian has even more reasons. We can never praise him enough for all his benefits. Questions about our motivation to pray? I think, and we talked about this one of the earlier weeks, we talk a lot in generalities where we don't, and we need to get specific sometimes. Good point, Todd. Thank you. Anybody else have a comment or a question about motivation? R.G. Lee says this, Satan despises prayer. He does all he can to keep us from praying. When we pray, we are fighting against the rulers of darkness. But Satan dreads prayer. Though Satan laughs at prayerlessness, toil, and mocks at human wisdom, he trembles when Christians pray. In the case of prayer, God knew he would be likely to overlook its importance, and he knew that Satan would work harder to prevent us from praying than he would anything else. He will even encourage Christian activity if it will keep us off our knees. This poem from Russell Kelfler puts it this way, and this is Satan talking. Christians can come to church, but I can handle this. I'll just put them on lots of committees, and their mission perhaps they'll miss. Christians can study hard and even learn about prayer, but so long as it's only in their heads, I really do not care. But oh, he moans, when Christians pray, I mean really honestly pray, when they enter into the courts of God day after day after day. But when they so are consumed by who God is that they truly confess every sin, I give up, says Satan. It's a battle I cannot win. God challenges his people to come near to him, not only with a humble heart, but with clean hands and hearts. To approach him with the wrong attitude invalidates any effort on our part to pray to God. And since we only act out of motivation, God has given us sufficient reasons, logical reasons, to pray and not to faint or grow weary. Prayer is part of the armor of the Christian that helps us to ward off the temptations of the devil. Ephesians 6:11 through 18, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We're told to resist him and stay steadfast in the faith. When Jesus' temptations were the strongest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he resorted to ardent, fervent prayer to his Father. He even exhorted his disciples at the same time to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptations. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. So why pray? John Brodus asked the more correct questions. Why do you not pray? Have you no need to pray? Is there no good thing that God can give and that you need? No earthly good for yourself or others? No spiritual good? Have you no sins to be forgiven? Have you no weaknesses to be helped? No temptations to struggle against? Have you no troubles? Why do you not pray? And then Billy Graham says this, one of the greatest privileges of the child of God is the privilege of coming directly to God in prayer. And also, we have this little graphic that will be on your handout, maybe hard to read from off the wall, 9 reasons to pray. Prayer protects us. Prayer changes things. Prayer keeps you in the will of God. Prayer draws you closer to God. Prayer makes you happy. Prayer gives you hope. Prayer makes you selfish. Prayer heals you from all pain. And prayer makes you stronger spiritually.
You need to reread number 7.
Prayer makes you less selfish. Did I leave out the less? I did that on purpose. Makes you less selfish. Yeah. I see a few is awake. Any questions on why we should pray? So everybody understands why we should pray?
Was it the previous slide?
Billy Graham was the previous.
It was the one before that. It really shows how prideful it is not to pray.
Yeah.
Are you so good that
you don't have a reason?
Are no spiritual good?
Yeah.
You have no sin? That is just so much pride.
Yeah.
Not to pray. That struck me as you were reading through there.
And I think one of the earlier weeks we talked about how prayer will hinder, selfishness will hinder prayer,
right.
Our prayers. So, any other comments or questions till we move on? So what are some conditions for acceptable prayer? While prayer may be a natural thing for human beings, it is not really the privilege of all people. If the unsaved person has the same privileges that the saved person has, then why become a Christian? The very way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray was, "Our Father which is in heaven." And we talked about in depth last week about that. Who can truthfully call God Father but the children of God? Prayer is a great blessing for the Christian. Lessons like this are not to discourage us in our prayer life, but to enhance and make it meaningful and effective. There are obvious teachings from Scripture that must not be ignored. I think I left out a slide. Anyway, there are quite a few indications in Scripture that are definite conditions to acceptable prayer. I have a list of 11. First one is, and we talked about this a lot last week, our prayers are to be addressed to God, our Father. Of course, we have the... there we go. Our prayers are to be addressed to God, our Father. Of course, we unpacked this the last week, coming from the disciples' prayer, when it says, "Our Father in heaven." There are other verses that goes with that, and you'll have those in your handout. The second condition, our prayers to God are made possible by the mediatorship of Jesus. 1 John 2:1 says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ." Number 3, our prayers must come from a forgiving heart. Ephesians 4:31-32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander.
That's hard sometimes.
What? Did I step on a toe?
Well, when you're upset, it's hard to pray when you don't have bitterness and anger sometimes.
Maybe you should
actually pray for a forgiving heart.
Huh?
Sometimes you should be praying for a forgiving heart.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might not have it yet, but you can ask God for it, and He can use it.
It may be a prayer before your prayer. It's pray for yourself. But there it is in Ephesians. Don't shoot the messenger.
Sometimes it's hard when you're hurt, especially when you're hurt.
Yeah, I understand. I hear what you're saying. Anybody else have a comment about that? I know nobody else. You must be the only one that has that problem. So.
Y'all pray for me.
It's to pray for your enemy.
That's a hard one. That's real hard.
You know someone has wronged you.
Yeah.
And you pray for that individual. It takes a sincere person to actually do it.
Yeah.
Well, it takes not to say, I pray Did you say, thy will be done?
He knows better.
So do we really believe it, though? Do we believe number three?
It come from a forgiving heart?
I'm not challenging. I'm just asking,
understand.
Do we really believe it?
Well, apparently Betsy does.
Do we believe that God doesn't hear us if we're holding a grudge?
Oh, do we believe that? No, we don't believe that. We believe he hears us anytime. Anytime and every time. So, that's the reason I quoted the Ephesians 4. It's not me. That's what Ephesians says. What Paul said. So,
because sometimes it takes time to overcome.
Yeah.
With a continual prayer, that may come to fruition. Not the very first time you pray the prayer, but maybe later that you have thought about what has happened and you can forgive that person. Because forgiveness all the time is not instantaneous. You have to really.
And it depends on the degree that whatever it is. And it may take a long time for that anger to come out, get out of you. Just depends on what the defense was. But no, it may not be an instant thing. If you're in business with someone and they wronged you and they frauded you and whatever, you don't forget that overnight.
No, you don't.
Leroy?
You just keep them out of your prayers until you can get over it and then you can pray about them.
That's one way of doing it, I guess. Leroy?
Well, you know, at work, we don't necessarily make it in the form of prayer, but we could be hoping the stuff. We go through all the stuff that's been stolen. I think it's still the most ignorant thing.
Yeah.
And just last week, somebody stole some makeup, and we didn't say we'd pray. We said, sure hope that breaks some makeup.
Yeah. I read something the other day, and you brought it up, so I can say something. I read the other day that the number one item that walks out of Walmart unpaid is bottled water, because people put it on that bottom rack and they forget to check it out, forget to say anything. Of course, that's where the cashier is supposed to notice it, but I don't know how true that is, but that's what I read the other day.
There's supposed to be a mirror down underneath the register past them. They could, from that point, they could see in that mirror, see what's underneath the basket.
Well, that's why
the new hires don't do it.
That's why you got your greeter to check for anything not in a bag, too.
Not in a bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Upsetting some people, but it's becoming
necessary. All right. Y'all forgive me. We got off on Walmart here. Number four, our prayers must be in harmony with God's will. This is hard too, Todd, sometimes. 1 John 5, verses 14. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we talked about this a little bit more in one of the earlier weeks. Number five, our prayers must be in faith. Matthew 21, 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for. And again, some of these we unpacked earlier. Number six, our prayers must come from a humble heart. This goes with that selfishness or lack of selfishness we talked about earlier. Number seven, we must abide in Christ if we expect our prayers to be answered. John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Number eight, We must practice righteousness. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayer. And also James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Condition number nine, we must walk in the light and confess our sins. 1 John 1:7, and then verse 9 also talk about walking in the light and confessing our sins. Number 10, we must pray fervently and earnestly. I just read James 5:16, talking about the prayers of a righteous man. But also James 5, 17 and 18 is an example of Elisha doing what? Y'all remember the story of Elisha in James 5? Everybody goes to Google. Here we go. Bible Gateway. Elisha prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for how long? 3.5 3.5 And then he prayed, and the heavens opened up, and it started raining. So. And finally, number 11, we must pray with understanding. 1 Corinthians 4:15. I will also pray with my understanding. Kind of paraphrasing it. And there are other conditions. Anybody, can anybody think of anything else that we have not covered?
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Yep. And what does that mean, Jim?
We need to pray to the Lord all the time.
Always have a prayer on your mind, if not verbally. So.
It's a reminder that we're walking in Him. And He's with us. It's the old footprints in the sand.
Yeah. And when we turn back and see the one set, how's the poem go? It's Him carrying us.
Yep.
Is that the story, how it goes?
He's with us always.
Yeah. Everybody turn to Psalm 31, 32. Psalm 32. So as we conclude, one of the beauties of the Psalms is its personal application of the will of God in one's life. David makes the Psalms real because he often speaks about himself and his condition before God. Someone read Psalms 32, 1 through 6.
Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. When I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquities, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilty of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them.
All right, my question is, what does David indicate is the reason that causes everyone to pray to God? What does David indicate is the reason that causes everyone to pray to God?
For forgiveness.
For forgiveness?
Deterioration of man.
Deterioration of what?
Man.
Because he can't be found.
Can't be found? Anybody see anything else?
Confess our sins.
Ma'am? Confess our sins.
Confess our sins
goes along with what was already been said. Actually, there are several in here. The main one that I saw was the confession, verse 5. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David?
Talking about while the Lord can be found, I think it's the Heaven and Hell video from the Bible Project that if you go down into the Explorer, the different ones, they actually have podcasts that they do. And one of the comments that Mackey makes is, interestingly enough, those that call on God are going to live in the presence of God. Those that don't call on God, by the grace of God, they're going to be allowed to live, but they're living without the presence of
right.
God. So there's going to be a time in there where you can't ask anymore.
Right, there's a line, and you can't cross that line.
And heaven forbid you hadn't asked for forgiveness before that line has been drawn.
Right.
I just thought that was an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it is. Anybody else have a comment or a question? Handout is going around. I'm waiting on the handouts because there's one final thing we need to do once you get your handout. Anybody else have any questions or comments about today? We actually started on time, which was rare, so I had not prepared for a full 45-minute class. I'm used to a 35-minute class.
You did good.
It's something we don't have been trying to process this in my head. Because it says, therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Because there are so many people like God's lesson this morning, you know, with us. We need to prepare ourselves to go out and find those who have not found God. And because everybody's not going to find him. So we need to be the ones to guide them to that, because that's one of the things we are commissioned to do, going into all we know to preach the gospel. And if we are not doing that, we're not
fulfilling
those people's life.
Yeah.
So that they can.
And we're not doing what we've been commanded to do,
yeah,
for one thing.
That was a command.
That's a command.
So, you know, that's how we do.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Bernard. Because the class in here next quarter, Roy Barker and Von Plunk's going to do a tag team. And they're going to be talking about evangelism. And Von's going to be talking about his seekers class. So it's not only how do you go out and find these people, but what do you say to them? So, thank you for the commercial. I'll pay you later. No, he.
Accept whatever you.
He just walked into the. He just walked into it. So, next week we're going to talk about hindrances to our prayers and why aren't my prayers answered. I think that might be an interesting class. Hopefully, it will be. So, on the bottom of page 4 of your handout, two people have a sticker with butterflies on them. Oh my goodness. Who else? Anybody else have it? Tiffany and Todd.
We're not very dated.
You what? Thomas Rayner, I have a church member.
Is this actually something meaningful?
It is meaningful. Actually, the Nice Nested Home Group went through this book 3 or 4 years ago. And I was the one who ordered them. I got stuck with some of them.
So anyway. Any questions about today? We hadn't even had the first bell yet. Let's end in prayer and then we can spend some... There he goes ringing it. Let's say a quick prayer and then we can spend our time in fellowship. Father, teach us to live by faith, to translate that faith into persistent prayer, and then to see your power unleashed in our lives in ways that bring you glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.